Unto them, the God of heaven, he will prosper us Therefore, we, his servants, will arise and build, but ye have no portion, nor right, nor memorial in Jerusalem.
Amen.
Oh, man. Amen.
Father, in the name of Jesus,
thank you for your word. Thank you for your servant, Nehemiah. Father God, thank you for the lessons that we've learned from your word. Bless this church, Father God. And let them, after they hear the word of God, let them also say, as the people of God, let us rise up and be. Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. What a word. What a word. Just so powerful to read. Nehemiah was a good man. A powerful man. I think Nehemiah was a warrior. A fighting man. He was bold and courageous. But he was also an ordinary man. And my notes here say there are three types of people in the world. People who make things happen. People who watch things happen. And people who wonder what happened.
True.
Nehemiah was a living testimony of what ordinary people can do when they love enough to care. Care enough to cry. Cry enough to pray. And pray enough to act. They're the kind of folks we need. Folks who can pray and cry. Supposed to have a burden for the Lord's work. Nehemiah had a burden for the Lord's work. He wanted to see the walls rebuilt. He wanted to see the gates reestablished in the walls of the churches. And now, not only in this community, but all the mega churches, all of them. You know, just because your building is up and pretty, don't mean your walls aren't destroyed.
All right.
Don't mean your gates aren't burnt down. There's lawlessness in the church.
Amen.
And that's a picture of the gates being burnt down. Folks coming in the church doing whatever they want to do. It's all about them. But Nehemiah was a humble man. And we're going to learn today four things. Four things from Nehemiah. I call this principles of a great man of God. Or principles of great leadership. Since we have our elections next week, if you are a trustee or a deacon, if you're the head of the usher board, the secretary, the treasurer, you're in a position to do great things.
Yes. Amen.
You're in great leadership. And you ought to take what you do for God seriously. Even if it's just opening the door for someone.
Amen.
Even the young people, see a piece of paper laying on the ground, pick it up. When you miss the trash can in the bathroom, pick it up. You're in God's house. And every room is a holy room.
Amen.
I always say that. All these musicians, all these instruments, these are holy instruments.
Amen.
And they ought to be handled with holiness.
All right. Amen.
This is a holy place.
Amen.
We don't even hear that anymore about the church. It's not even a holy place. We don't look at it as a holy place. It's a holy place. We ought to take off our shoes. I know some of the women do. That puts the levels on. Get them off while the preaching going on in the 45-minute break. Listen, this is a holy place. God is a holy God. And the word of God said, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. I don't have to come up here and preach on sex every day. I know some preachers every Sunday that preach on sex and relationship. No, you preach on holiness preaching.
Amen.
It ain't a Pentecostal thing. It ain't a Church of God Christ thing. It's a God thing. Bible said, be ye holy. For I am holy. Let's look at some of these principles we learned from Nehemiah. But just to refresh, this is our third lesson. Our first lesson we learned, Nehemiah was in the palace. Shushan, the palace. Remember we talked about the floors were marble and it was just elaborate. They were drinking out of cups. No, they were drinking out of vessels made of gold and made of silver. And the king had declared that no rules apply. Do what you want to do. Women, the beautiful women in the house was there. It was a free-for-all. And Nehemiah was there. He was there. He was living in the palace. And he got a call from his brother, Hananiah. And his brother came and told him that the walls of Jerusalem were torn down and the gates were burnt. And I'm sure Nehemiah was looking at where he was at.
Yeah.
See, God is pictured all throughout the New Testament. Jesus Christ is pictured all throughout the New Testament. Because as we sang that song earlier today out of Philippians 2, Jesus, the Bible said he set aside his glory.
Mm-hmm.
He stepped out of heaven and came down to this sinful world. And this is what was challenging Nehemiah. Nehemiah had to evaluate things. He had to think about things. He was a praying man. He was a thinking man. He knew what his brothers were saying. Nehemiah, we need a man. We need a man to come to Jerusalem and rebuild it. We need a leader. And Nehemiah was looking around, looking at his stuff. So like the rich young ruler, when the rich young ruler came to the Lord, he had all this stuff. And he said, well, you know, I got everything. I might as well, you know, get salvation and throw that on the cart. And Jesus said, listen to him, listen to this rich young ruler. If you want to follow me, he said, go and sell all that you have. Well, it's going to cost you something to serve God. See, some of us serve God with no cost. Even David, when David was offered a part of the sanctuary, the synagogue he wanted to build, and they said, well, give it to him for free. And David said, no. If it don't cost you nothing, it don't mean nothing to me. See, we live in a society now, we want a handout. We want a freebie. Oh, if it don't cost nothing, it ain't worth it. I'll tell you something. Ain't nothing free. Somebody know what I mean? Ain't nothing free. It's going to pay. Like Penzo, something old school, y'all know that he said, pay me now. And then later, you get it down free, it's going to cost you down the road. Nehemiah knew what it's going to cost him. He's going to have to leave the palace. He's going to have to leave the palace. A picture of Jesus Christ having to leave heaven, he knew what it's going to cost him. But Jesus, the Bible says Jesus was set like free. He came here for one reason, to seek and save the lost. And here we find Nehemiah being challenged the same way. He was going into Jerusalem for one reason. And it wasn't for self-glory. We're going to find that out. It was going to cost him something. And then in the second lesson we learned, he went to the king. After praying, having that burden to pray, he prayed and fasted and wept and mourned for 4 months. And then he was called before the king. He was called before the king. Verse number 2, chapter 2, and verse number. Verse number 3, I believe. Start at 2, right? Wherefore the king, verse 2, wherefore the king said unto me, here's Nehemiah after 4 months of weeping and praying and fasting and mourning. You do that for 4 months, you know it's going to be on your heart. He said, wherefore the king said unto me, why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art sick? Are not sick. This is nothing else but sorrow of the heart. Then I was very sore afraid. Well, he was a cupbearer. He had a reason to be afraid. You come in front of the king, sorrow. That means somebody didn't point arrows at him. But the king knew better. This was a discerning king. This was a wise king. This was a king that loved Nehemiah. Oh, okay. How many of y'all bosses love you? Yeah. How many of your bosses say, I don't know if I had 5 more days for you? And said unto the king, let the king live forever. They said, look, there's nothing wrong, king, and I'm just reviewing. Why should not my countenance be sad? He came right with it. Why should not my countenance be sad when the city, the place where my fathers were buried, lieth in waste? And the gates thereof are consumed with fire. There was all lawlessness in the land that I love. Do you love anything so much that you have a burden for it? We ought to have a burden for what's going on in our city. We ought to have a burden for what's going on in our school. We ought to have a burden for what's being put on TVs and movies and stuff. We ought to have a burden for what's going on in this world. We ought to have a burden for how many babies are aborted every day in America. We ought to have a burden for it. We ought to have a burden that churches now are voting whether or not to marry women in church, 2 women in church. That ought to burden us. That ought to concern us. That ought to concern us when we've been the pastors is being caught in adultery and having babies out of wedlock in the past. That ought to burden us. It ought to burden us when a Ted Haggard gets caught in a hotel with another man and smoking meth. That ought to burden us. Yeah, It ought to burden us when Eddie Long is taking pictures of himself and sending them to folks. Oh, it don't burden us. Oh, no, he's just a man. When God calls a man, he gives him something supernatural.
Yes.
You ought to stand in the pulpit. If you've been called of God, you ought to be something supernatural in you. Some sins disqualify you. Not disqualify you for going to heaven, don't get me wrong. But they ought to disqualify you for preaching.
Amen.
Oh, yeah. There's none righteous, no, not one. You know, you're a man. The environment is supernatural. See, when you get saved, it's something supernatural. You get some power. You get some power to walk right. You get some power to talk right. You get some power to live right. You get the power to want to study God's word. You want the power to want to be with God's people. You get the power to want to come to prayer meetings. You get all that from with it.
Did
you get it?
All right.
Did you get it?
Get it, yeah.
Nehemiah had it. We're going to learn from him. Second, we find Nehemiah. Nehemiah is standing before the king. And again, now we're coming to our lesson today. Four principles. First one we find in verse number 9. First principle. Rest and refocus. Sometimes church folks just need to rest.
All right.
Some folks say, well, Pastor, you do a whole lot, but I know how to rest. You ask my wife. Yeah. Ask my kids. I go in my room. I sit right on the patio with them, and I just nod on them. Yeah. And then I wake me up. I'm getting some rest.
Yeah.
Listen. This is what he says in verse 9. Then I came to the governors beyond the rivers and gave them the king's letters. Now the king had sent captains of the army and horsemen with him. Remember, Nehemiah got more than he asked for. See, when you burn with a desire or a love or something that's God ordained, God will give you more than you can ask for. We don't ask for enough. But we don't mourn and pray. And cry out and weep. When the last time we mourned and prayed and cried out and weep, and then turn and throw a fast on top of all that.
Yeah.
And when you come before the Lord in that condition, He will give you more than you ask for. Because He knows already what you need.
Yeah.
We have not. Because we don't pray enough. Okay? We don't praise God enough. We don't work hard at prayer. We don't ask God to forgive us. And then we don't pray God's word back because Nehemiah had done all that and I said before the king. And the king gave more than he asked for. Ain't that a blessing? You got more than you asked for. Some of you today got more than you asked for. Some of you will go home today and you'll scrape food off your plate into the trash can. You got more than you asked for. Some kinds of people eat out of garbage cans. And you got food to burn. So I have to watch my kids sometimes they just throw food away. Because they got more than they asked for. Nehemiah, he rested and refocused. Look at verse number 10. When Sanballat, the Horonite, and Tobiah the servant, and the Ammonite heard of it, that word heard again, they understood what he was coming for. It grieved them exceedingly that there was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of God. He came to seek and save them all. He's a picture of Jesus Christ. Luke 19:10. Son of Man came to seek and save all. Nehemiah was a picture of Christ. But Christ even rested. You read the Bible, Christ left and went up into the mountains and rested. Verse number 11, look at it. Rest and refocus. First principle. So I came to Jerusalem. Now where did he come from? Shushan. That's a 1,000 mile trip on a donkey. That would take you 2 months to travel that far on foot. You know what he did? He didn't come into town busting up. Fanfare, here comes the king, here comes the judge, all that stuff. He came to Jerusalem and was there, what? 3 days. 3 days before he even mentioned anything, he was resting. He was resting. The acronym busy. Anybody heard the acronym busy? See, Satan want to keep you so busy. So you ain't no good. You busy. I don't have time to pray. I don't have time to go to Bible study. I don't have time to go to choir rehearsal. I'm so busy. You know what busy means? To be means being. The U means under. The S means Satan. And the Y means yoke. And it basically means being under Satan's yoke. See, Satan's number one, his number one principle of slowing down the man of God and the woman of God, keep him busy. Right. Why do you think? Soccer practice, women's practice, football practice, basketball practice, cheerleader practice, bingo night, now they're putting casinos on every corner. I mean, it you just keep you busy. Yeah. And I ain't even mentioned football season, sorry. And he said, I'm too busy now. I listened to a meeting with that meeting yesterday. Well, you know, we can't do this on football season. No, I listen. Well, hold on, Jack. God don't care about who wins the Super Bowl. He already know who will win. What do you got to watch it for? God don't have a brain. Do you all understand God don't have a brain? We have brains, but we need to think. What does God need to think about? God don't have a brain. He ain't walking around with a brain. He all known. Somebody heard that. God. Okay. Rest and recover. Listen. In our roles in the night. Okay? Rest and recover. We're going to go to the next point. See, we went on that one long. Rest and refocus. Are you refocused? Y'all ready to rest? Y'all have some rest. Some of y'all have rested for a long time. Okay, y'all be focused now. Y'all be ready to go. That's what they said about Serena last night. I watched a little attendant said she was off for a year. She had a chance to rest and refocus, work on some things. Somebody ought to be ready to do something. I'm ready to do something. I worked on my serve. I worked on my backhand. I worked on my footwork. I'm ready to serve. Use me. I'm going to be ringing up the hook. I want to be a usher. I want to be a trustee. I want to do something. I have to do something. Everyone is saved is a gift. When God saves you, he blesses you with a gift. And every gift, unconverted, will be perverted. Because if you don't use your gift for the Lord, you're going to use it for the devil. But it will be used. Okay? And you can be all the God for, you can hit 9 hole in ones. God don't care about that. But when you get to heaven, he don't care about your hole in ones. He don't care about your trophies. He don't care about your Pee-wee trophies and you scored 100 touchdowns. He don't care how many tackles you made. He's going to ask you one question and one question only. Jesus Christ, my son, did you know him? Did you know him? Was he your Lord and Savior? Were you intimate with him? Did you talk to him? Did you love the people he died for? That's the question you got to answer. That's why pastors have an obligation to present that to you. You're not going to stand in front of God and say, well, you know, he's not a pastor. He ain't teaching nothing. No slap of his chicken. All right, listen. Investigate before you initiate. Okay? Investigate before you initiate. If you believe God has called you to do something, then investigate that. Investigate it. Spend some time with it. Spend some prayer on it. Think about it. This is what Nehemiah did in verse number 12. He said, I rolled in the night. This is the first time he rolled. And he said, I and some few men. Remember, this man came with 2 captains of army. If this would have been some of us, we would have had fanfare, we'd have balloons, we'd have marching band. I believe humility plays a great part in being used by God. God can't use you if you lift it up in pride and arrogance. God is looking for a humble servant. So that know and believe that if it's not for the love of God, I got nothing I can do. See, there's nothing I can do if God takes his hand off me. Y'all wouldn't want to hear what I had to say if God took his hand off me. The heart of man is what? Deceitfully wicked. No man knows it. He rose at night and some few men with me. Neither told I any man what my God has put in my heart. Look at Nehemiah. He always had God in front of him. See, the man of God always has God in front of him. He's always giving credit to God because all credit is to God. Because if God calls you to do something, he's just going to take the power of God for you to do it. If you can do something on your own, you rest assured. God ain't called you to do it. God never called you to do something you can do on your own. See, that's what we have church folks doing, what they can do on their own strength. We've lost faith. We've lost the power of God and faith. And I can do that. Well, and if somebody tell me that, well, I'll just be the wrong person. I'm looking for somebody that can do it.
All
right. I'm looking for that one to come like Moses. Moses says, I can't speak, I can't do nothing. And God, that's what I'm looking for, Moses. 40 years ago, you was a bad boy. Now I didn't walk you around in the desert for 40 years. Now you're weak and feeble. You're 80 years old, but when you was on your own, you killed a man. Barely
right.
Didn't say, but you was working on your own strength. Now, 40 years later.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now I'm telling you to do something. If I told you to do it 40 years ago, you would have ran up there again.
Yeah.
Now you're old and broke down.
Yeah. Yeah.
If it gets done, you know how God done it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Some of us too strong to be used. Some of us too strong to be used. But we take all the credit for it. Well, you know, first we did it like this, and then I thought about it. Investigate before you initiate. So I said, and I went out by night by the gate of the valley. And I'm going to talk about these gates probably next week, so I'm not going to elaborate on what these gates are. But they all have spiritual meanings, what all these gates meant. So he said, I went out by night by the gate of the valley. Almost tempted to declare it. I'm not. Even before the dragon well, that was another one, and the dung port, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and the gates thereof were consumed with fire. Remember, the gates, the people manned those gates. When they came to the gates, they had armed patrols watching them gates, and only certain people could get through. You had to have credentials. But the gates were warm, broken down, so what was happening? Some of us in here now, we got our home, we got security alarms on our home. And we don't leave without setting that alarm. We're not leaving home with the doors wide open. That's what Jerusalem was like. They had a temple built, but the gates were broken down. Oh, it's coming in, any kind of way. Watch this. Verse 14. He said, then I went to the gate of the fountain, to the king's pool, but there was no place for the beast that was under me to pass. Now that's an interesting term. Now he rode a donkey. Well, we have to get a real biblical understanding. This was not a donkey like on stretch, okay? If you go to Job 1, he's talking about all that Job had. Job had what they called she asses. These were animals that could travel at a high rate of speed for up to 500 miles and they rested. So these weren't like little, you know, like donkeys. Okay? These were powerful animals, high speed. These were valuable animals. Read Job. He talked about what Job had. This was a big part of his wealth, that he raised these she asses. These were animals. They weren't big, they were small, but they were powerful. Listen, verse 50. He said, when I went up by night, this is the third night. He said, the third night by the brook and viewed the wall. This was a huge wall. If you go online and study the wall, you know, if you've got a mega church, they would just do, and they have all the gates all up the same kind of church. You know, but it was a huge wall. And it took 3 days to go around the whole thing. And he was examining the walls. And he was probably praying under the walls. He was seeing the magnitude of the work God had called him to do. Oh, look around. Look around our city. Look at our school systems. Look at our young people. And we have a great work. We have a great work. And you know what? Satan has used all types of distractions. We doing so much stuff that means nothing to God. But yet we call ourselves God's people. Think about how we spend our time. And our people perish. The Bible says, Hosea 4:6, our people perish for a lack of knowledge. Why? Because the people of God have the knowledge. And you know what we're doing? We spend hours and hours a day with the remote in our hands. We have all the knowledge. But we don't want to share it with nobody.
how people are perishing. Third point.
Move quick.
Move quick. Nehemiah.
This is a good one.
How to motivate people. This one got my attention. This one got my attention. I'm always trying to motivate people to do things. To do great things for God. To give your life to God. Mm-hmm. Folks always trying to get me to slow down. Mm-hmm. Oh, you go down to Herman and preach down there and you teach Sunday school and you preach and you go over here and you go over here. And he says, I'm on God's stand, folks.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. This is what I had the world to give to me. Amen. Okay? And the world can't take it away. I'm on God's stand.
Amen.
See? And I'd rather wear out than rust out. Okay?
Don't say that. Be nice.
17. Look, 17. How to motivate people. These are great principles from Nehemiah. How to motivate people. Watch what he does. He said, I stand unto them. You see the distress that. That's a big word, Dave. I had 2 days in here, but they know what I'm talking about here. That's a big word. You see the distress that what? We are in. Nehemiah got personal. He didn't come to build this wall by himself. He came to join in with these people and build the wall. Oh, yeah. You know, we got some folks in leadership that ain't going to lift a hand. We don't have none here. So we come out here on Wednesday. We come out here and do some work. All of us. Pastor included. I don't come out here in a suit. Okay? He said, then he said unto them, he's trying to motivate them. The best way to motivate anybody is to get involved in it. Get intimate with the people who are doing it. And he said that we are in. He put himself right in there. Right in the thick of it with them. That we are in. It ain't an East Side problem. It ain't an Austin Town problem. It ain't a Poland problem. It ain't a downtown problem. It's a we problem. And we get folks working for the city, working for the government to understand this, we think this economy is affecting all of us.
Amen. Amen. Yes, sir.
I don't need anybody in here going up there as much as they was 2 years ago. Or 3 years ago. And most of us remember when gas was $1.50 a gallon. Some of us remember when it was 25 cents.
Yeah.
Drive all day. Watch, listen. Then I told them, wait a minute, let's go. He said that we are in Jerusalem by its ways. The facts, just the truth. Amen. The city lies in wait. I mean, he was telling them the truth.
Amen.
He wasn't looking through rose colored guys' glasses. He wasn't saying, well, it ain't as bad as it looked. You know, we could do it. No, he was saying it lies in wait.
Yeah.
It was a mess. And the gates thereof are burnt with fire. And listen. Come. He was inviting them. That word come is an intimate word. Listen, come. Let's join together. And then he said, and let us build. Listen, folks, for us to build this church, we need all of us working together for a common cause.
Amen.
We're not worried about a pastor, so the pastor can lift it up and have a huge pastor anniversary and say, oh, the pastor did put it in a new driveway, the pastor did this, like, no, it ain't about the pastor. It ain't about the pastor. I don't believe any pastor in this town ought to have a pastor anniversary. Town is in line and waste.
Yeah.
And we look, what you done, pastor?
Right.
Oh, you know, we have a pastor anniversary. We're going to celebrate pastor. Mm-hmm. Ain't done, no. I know. Think about that. Y'all been in the face of the past anniversary. Won't be one here.
Okay.
Woo.
Amen.
Thank you.
Listen. We're 17 again. I'm just scrolling through it. I'm watching the clock. I got a couple timeouts. I ain't even done my timeouts yet. You got 3 timeouts, a full 60. Alright. Then said I unto them, you see the distress that we are in.
how Jerusalem lying waste and the gates thereof are burnt with fire. Come, let us build up the wall of Jerusalem that we be no more reproached. Listen, reproach means they were a laugh and stuff. What kind of God do you serve?
Yeah.
What kind of God do you serve?
Yeah.
You can't find a job. You can't keep your marriage together. Your ministry falling apart. Yeah. Your kids is crazy. And you got a God. What kind of God do you serve?
Yeah.
What kind of God do you serve? Can't find a job. Just messy. God is reproached when we as children of God, we call men of God. And we our lives are messed up. The walls of our lives are down, and we call ourselves men and women of God. Tired, broke down all the time.
Kind of God is deserved.
Sleeping on the job. Calling off every other day. I don't want none of that. That's why the flea market is so crowded right now. Thousands of people watching TV football. You're going to talk about church heaven. I can do bad all by myself. Verse 18. Talk about investigating. We can talk about how to motivate people. Verse 18. And then I told them of the hand of my God. See Nehemiah? You take no credit for yourself.
Yeah.
Okay? You start talking to a man, he's all about him. It's all about me. Me, myself, and I. Listen. Can't spell sin without I.
Right.
Okay. Me. Listen to what happens when you talk to people. All you talk about is me, myself, and I.
Yeah.
Or you try. Try to go a day or an hour. Try to go an hour without saying me, I, myself. And I don't mean sitting in a dark room.
Yeah.
Can't wait. Some folks just can't wait to get in. Like they playing hula, like they playing jump rope, you just waiting. Here it is. I gotta tell you what I'm doing.
All right. Yeah.
Then I told them of the hand of my God which was good upon me. Talk to them about God. Talk to them about what God has done for you.
Yeah.
The hand of my God was good upon me.
Yeah.
It's the hand of God even on you.
Yeah.
Because if it's on you, he's a good God.
Yeah.
He's a good God. He's doing good things. Listen, last point. How to deal with opposition. Folks, you know what? All who desire to live godly in Christ shall be persecuted. 2 Timothy 3:12, it is applied today. It's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. You step out for God. Say, okay, I'm going to do something for the Lord. Opposition is going to come. You may sit here and say, you know what, today I'm going to give my life to the Lord. I'm going to rededicate my life to the Lord. You know what? That inner spirit in you, because you got two spirits in you, is going to say, you know what? You're going to be a fool. You're going to walk around talking about you, hold the Bible, talking about Jesus all the time. He's going to keep you in your seat. Because he want to guide you to hell. Don't go following Jesus. We having fun. We partying, man. We doing our thing. We drinking, getting high. You got girls. You know what I mean? It's 10 girls for every man. Why would you want to give your life to the Lord? That's what that man is saying, and then you're inside that opposition that's coming. Don't get out of that chair. Don't listen to that fool. The things of God is foolishness to a natural man. You in the natural, somebody calls you about the things of God. You know, the Satan said, that's a fool. Nobody want to hear that. Watch this. Somebody dealt with today. I know somebody being dealt with today. Because I'm being dealt with. Somebody, God's saying, I need to come out of this mess I'm in. I need to get right with the Lord. I need to live a life that honors God.
Yeah.
You can't do it on your own.
Yeah.
You got to cry out to God. Get on your knees and pray, God, give me the power to come out of this mess.
Yeah. Yeah.
Satan has power.
Yeah.
Don't y'all ever forget that. Don't you think that Satan don't have power? He has power. He don't have one work of power, but he has power. He got power enough to keep you in your sin.
Amen.
When you know you're doing wrong, he got power enough to hold you in your sin.
Amen.
This God, that Satan got his hooks in you. Amen. And the only person you get them hooks out is God.
Amen.
Like when you go fishing, you catch a fish and swallow the hook. You need a hook. You need a little thing going out of the mouth. Get the hook out.
Amen.
Still got to be gentle, too.
Amen.
How to deal with opposition? How did Nehemiah deal with opposition? Right here.
Verse 19. But when Sam bowed the whore night. Okay? You know what whore night mean? Angry man. A man of anger and fury. This was a mean man. Okay? And then it says, not only him, he came with his buddy. Tobiah was serving up Ammonite. You know what Ammonite was? There was a mixed breed between the Moab and the Jew. So when Nehemiah came on the scene, what he was saying is, God is a God of order. And he has put out a command that you don't intermarry. So when Tobiah and Sambiah heard of this, they knew they had problems. So Nehemiah was going to clean it up. He was going to clean it up. He was going to stop all that. Now, how did Nehemiah deal with them? Look at verse number 20. Then I answered them. Don't be afraid to answer your enemies. Answer them enemies. Answer them enemies. The gates of hell should not prevail. You got power. You can stand before them and answer them. How did he answer them? He said unto them. Start off with God. The God of heaven. They knew who he was talking about. The God of heaven. Let me tell you something. Do you know the God of heaven? Do you know him personally? Does he know you? Or is it going to come in Matthew 7:20? That day, many are going to come to me and say, Lord, Lord, remember me. But God don't have no brain. He don't have to remember you. He's all knowing. You're like, what are you going to remind God of something? Remember me, like he forgot. God don't forget. Then he answered them and said unto them, the God of heaven. Y'all know who that is. That's basically what he was saying. Nehemiah was getting a little strong with him. He said, the God of heaven, y'all know who that is, right? Well, let me remind you. He's the God that parted the Red Sea. That's how we got over here. That God. That tore down the walls of Jericho. That God. That's the God I'm talking about. See, we believe in that God. Okay, we believe in that God. We believe in the God that parted the Red Sea, that raised Lazarus from the dead, that crossed the heavens, you crossed the Jordan River. We believe in that God. And he's that powerful. But he's not powerful enough to heal my marriage. What kind of God is that? What kind of God is that? He's not strong enough to deliver me from this addiction. He's not powerful enough to stop me from cussing folk out. Then he answered them and said unto them, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. He's going to build this wall, not us. That's what Nehemiah was saying. We just palms in his hand. We just his servants. Listen, he even reminds them again. That's the first thing he said. Then he said, therefore we, his servants, will arise and build. That's what he said. He's going to give us the power to rise and build. That's how you confront an adversary. Whatever your building project is, we all got building projects. We all working on something. We all got issues.
Yeah.
We all got issues. Then he said the last thing. The last thing, he really basically tells them to get lost.
All right.
He really tells them to get lost. Look at that text and see it. He says, we, his servants, will arise and build, but ye have no portion, nor right, nor memorial in Jerusalem. Basically saying, y'all need to get going. Be it. Get lost. Now, four principles. Rest and repose. Readjust your schedule. Make sure you get some rest so you can do God's work.
Uh-huh.
Investigate before you initiate. Investigate. That's you. I mean, some of you are out here single. You think about getting married or whatever. Investigate. Now, it shouldn't take you 5 years to do that.
All right now.
Okay? It shouldn't take you 5 years to realize, I'm not going to marry this man. Or I'm not going to marry this woman. It ought to take you 6 months.
We've been living together 39 years. I don't know yet.
My Lord, praise
God. How did the song go? If you don't know me by now,
yeah.
You will never know me.
Yeah.
meditate before you initiate, but you need to initiate. You either initiate going back or going forward. There's an initiation process after you investigate. That's going to do nothing. Okay? You either move forward or say, okay, God ain't in this. I'm leaving it alone. But you got to do something. Then you go, how do I motivate people? How do I motivate your children? How do I motivate these children to do better in school? I got to get involved with them. I got to go up to that school. I got to sit in some of those classes. I got to do some homework. Some of it's hard, too. How to deal with the opposition. You got all power behind you. You can be confrontational with the devil.
All right.
Get in the devil's face. Get in the devil's face and say, you know what? The God of heaven is on my side.
Yeah.
But you can't get up there and be bluffing. You have to know what you know. Because they ain't going to test you. Do you really know Jesus today? Do you really know Jesus today? Do you know him as the Lord and Savior? Do you have a personal relationship with him? Are you intimate with him? I mean, do you just love to open up the Word of God and learn new truths about Jesus Christ? That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about you have an affair with Jesus.
All right.
You know, you just had a fling with Jesus. Listen, having a fling with Jesus will get you in heaven. You need to have a relationship. You need to be intimate with him. You need to love him. I met him a few years ago. We had a little relationship and he wasn't all that, you know. Like we talk about a dude or a girl, but she wasn't all that. Now Jesus is all that. And some. He's all that. And if you say you know the Lord, and you're not intimate with him, and you're not communicating with him, you're not talking to him, you're not spending time with him, you're not singing to him, you better examine yourself. Examine yourself to see if you're in the faith. Take the test. Do I love him? Do I care about him? Do I love his people? Do I desire the things of God? Oh, come on now. I don't know if I don't know who he's talking about.
Yeah.
Don't even know their name. He's like, stumbling over your name at the funeral.
Yeah.
I don't know you.
Yeah.
I don't know you.
Yeah.
If I don't know you, I know God wants to know you. I'm God's man.
Alright.
I'm doing the funeral on me.
What's her name again? What's his name?
Messing up the name? Mm-hmm. How about you going to heaven? Are you in a bad place now? If I don't know your name and I'm going to your funeral, you probably ain't in a bad place.
Yeah.
I mean, does that make sense? If I'm going to my funeral and I don't know your name, you probably ain't been in a bad place. That makes sense? You don't have no pastor with you going to heaven. You don't have no church home.
My.
Ooh, preach, right?
You don't know nobody to go to church.
Alright.
I'm calling my time out. Go up to the church open. Amen. Amen. The doors of the church are open. I thank God for you all coming out today and hearing the word of God. I hope God has been good to you this week. Let's not forget, this is 9/11, and we want to not forget those folks who are reliving that. The doors of the church are open. Come by letter. Experience. The word of God said today, if you hear my voice, harden not the heart. We don't know. Today may be the last day. This may be the last church attendance, church you.
Yeah.
You do on this side. This may be the last time that you hear the word of God. This may be the the last time you want to know Jesus? Do you want to know Jesus?